Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. And Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good. I'm just wondering whether or not Trump has been vindicated. Mm-hmm. You know, he's complained a lot about fake news, and I think he's been right. There's a lot of fake news out there, and the neat thing about it is a lot of people have awakened to this, and hopefully one day they'll realize that almost anything government people say and the media says, they'll realize they better be very skeptical of it, and they have to look for something else. But Zero Hedge has a great headline here dealing with what looks like a little bit of vindication for Trump. And it had to do with a sting operation by the individuals that Project Veritas.
Yeah.
They went in and got the producer of CNN to do some talking. He's on tape, and it's pretty amazing. And the headline was, CNN caught cold in undercover sting. Producer admits Russia fake news story pushed for ratings. And this is on there. And I think at one time the producer even said, you know, Trump's actually absolutely right. You know, we don't have anything on them. And they've also been just recently had to apologize about the charges of Scaramucci, claiming he was dealing deals with Russia. And now the CNN was even forced to not fire anybody, but resignation of three individuals. The producer is still going strong. But this tells you something about what's really going on. What a lot of people, I'm sure every Trump supporter believes this. But there might be a little bit more to this story. But I think this is significant. This should discredit CNN, which they deserve.
Yeah, and it sort of caps off what so far has been a good week or so for Trump. He got the CNN sting, and the producer was on tape saying, this is all BS. We know it is. It's all about ratings. Wait till the other stations will admit that. But, the Loretta Lynch stuff, you know, this is good for Trump. This is starting to capture the headlines. I see Judge Napolitano said that she could theoretically face some time behind bars for this. You'd think this would be a great week for Trump so far. But then he goes back on a self-destructive tangent, I think.
Yeah, but there's other things in the news today, too, and that has to do with the other side of the coin. And as our title to our program indicates, maybe Trump participates in fake news. Wonder who started all this. Well, my suspicion is that I've been involved in politics since the 1970s. And I think a long time before I got involved, politicians are always involved in fake news. It's demagoguing, it's lying, it's fibbing, it's distorting the news, it's coalitions and conspiracies. That's what drives politics, and usually money and special interests, obviously. Then there's a game they play, and in some ways, there may be a little bit of game playing between Trump and CNN. I doubt if it's very friendly, but there's some game playing there, mm-hmm. one-upsmanship. Let's get a story out and see if we can build ratings, and then Trump has to fire back and try to get him to tweet something that gets him into gets him some into trouble.
Yeah.
But now there's a story out. Of course, Trump is saying, "Watch out. This Assad guy is a bad guy, and we have information and evidence." They don't tell us where the evidence came from.
Mm-hmm.
Evidence that he just may well be getting ready to gas his own people, massive killing of his own people, and then the threats start to come out. And that's when I think it starts getting serious. There's threats and innuendos about what's going to happen, and this time it looks like it could escalate. But I do want to quote, just to get give the viewers a sense of where I'm coming from, because Sean Spicer, you know, had a conference yesterday, and they say this with a straight face. You know, I'm sure CNN is back to fake news already. But what about the administration and the president? So Sean Spicer had his conference yesterday, and it might have even been this morning, I don't know. And this is Spicer. The United States has identified potential for another chemical weapons attack on the Assad regime, another attack that would likely result in the mass murder of civilians, including innocent children worry about the children like Albright. She worried about the children, too. Yeah. The activities are similar to preparations the regime made before the April 4th chemical weapons attack. Sure, sure. We remember that one. Oh, you mean this is a comment by Zero Head. Oh, you mean the Syrian government is planning on bombing Islamic terrorists again, you know, the attack. But this is the thing. They come up with a very straight face, and they have no proof on it. Even the first attack, which was not an attack by Assad, that got Obama all stirred up and the whole world community against them. So this is it right now, and the language is getting stronger. Others have chimed in on how serious this is and how we can't let this go by without some retaliation.
Yeah, we do have, actually. We can put up Nikki Haley, his rabidly neoconservative ambassador to the UN. This even tops Spicer. Any further attacks done to the people of Syria will be blamed on Assad, but also on Russia and Iran, who support him killing his own people. And talk about giving a green light to terrorists, to false flaggers, to outside sponsors, the Saudis, the other Gulf states. Israel's been bombing the Syrian government lately over the weekend and recently. Talk about giving a green light to anyone to attack the Syrian people. If Nikki Haley says, we don't care who did it, it's going to be blamed on Assad. Wink, wink, you know, off with it. Let's go.
Assad and Russia
and Iran.
That's what they want to do. But this is interesting to think about in terms of what will the CNN people be saying. I heard a little bit of their position today, and you know, when it comes to this war, they're not pointing out that Trump is using fake news. They're chiming in. Well, it sounds like this would be good. You know, and this goes back to my thesis about how it works in Washington, that on the big issues, the Republicans and Democrats, you know, are buddies. War issues, foreign policy, monetary issues, spending and welfare. They come together. The rest is just all fluff. And there's a little bit of fluff going on here, you know, between CNN and the president, because the CNN is actually, you know, giving some token support to this. But all the stations do this. And I don't see that the issue of fake news is sort of like a game they're playing. And to me, it's an insult to the people's intelligence that there's serious, you know, a conflict here. But I think personality-wise and there's some serious stuff there. I think Trump's on the receiving end because he's so unpredictable, and he will blast out on them. But when it comes to the big policies of war and money issues and the Federal Reserve, I think they agree. They need this financial system that holds it together. And who's not involved in the military-industrial complex? Look at the Middle Eastern countries now that need our money and our weapons and all those things going on.
Yeah, look at how the media is also owned by a lot of companies with ties. I think CNN loves war more than they hate Trump.
That might be the thing. Yeah.
But, you know, this is really, it's interesting watching how the mainstream media works, because when this story broke last night, everyone was caught off guard, including the mainstream media. The AP, which has always been very mainstream and sympathetic to aggressive foreign policy, they reported initially that CENTCOM has no idea what the White House is talking about. State Department was caught off guard, was not discussed in advance with the national security agencies, and the Pentagon had no idea what the White House was talking about. Fast forward a little bit, and now AP's reporting this morning that the Pentagon is seeing activity from the same air base that they say launched the original chemical attacks. So we're supposed to believe that Assad is out there in the open mixing up chemicals from the same base that was hit, and he's ready to go out there and kill civilians again.
It makes no sense. But, you know, the other thing along with this that bothers me is things that Trump says that I believe. I mean, he wants to be a strong president. They all want to be strong president. Strong president is the one that doesn't get pushed around and they throw their weight around and they're the boss. And he claims if you have a weapon, you're supposed to use them. You know, if you have a big bomb, like he proved, the biggest bomb ever made, never been detonated, he showed that he's no wimp and dropped it on Afghanistan. course, that brought a lot of good things and peace to Afghanistan. Yeah. But I think he's very weak on the position of where does he stand on nuclear weapons? Well, all presidents always put weapons out, essentially all have said, we take nothing off the table, which is a code word. If we need to, we'll be the first one to strike you, which is a horrible statement. But I think Trump is more capable of doing this. And that's why I think we live in very dangerous times. I happen to have reacted to what's going on today probably more strongly than usual. Usually I just try to take it in stride. Yeah, more of the same. It can lead to worse things. But there's awfully strong language in here, and that somebody has to pay the consequence. And if Assad does this, we have to attack Iran and Russia. I mean, and there are people who like this stuff in Washington, D.C. I mean, the neocons are delighted with this stuff. The neocons keep winning, you know, because it must be an international organization. Yeah. Because, you know, when it comes to militarism, you know, the other governments seem to fall in line.
What's interesting about this, maybe it's only a coincidence, but this is last night was the day after the blockbuster Seymour Hersh article that showed that the U.S. intelligence knew in April that Syria did not use poison gas. But the White House didn't care and launched the attack anyway. This is a blockbuster report. The next day, all of a sudden, they're saying, the White House is saying, another attack is coming. So maybe it's a coincidence, but it's very suspicious.
Well, you remember the story about the weapons of mass destruction that were about to hit us,
yeah.
You know, back in the early part of this century, and reason why we had to protect the American people, we had to protect our freedoms, and we had to protect our Constitution by going and killing a couple hundred thousand people. So one of these days, I think that this currently is going to get out of hand. This is really strong language. Maybe I'm completely wrong, I hope, and maybe tomorrow this is going to dissipate, and Tillerson can call up Lavrov again. They talked yesterday.
It's amazing.
In spite of this, but I remember back in of the incident back before December 7th, you know, there were diplomats from Japan in Washington talking about peace. So, you know, peace in our time. But this is, this to me is something that can't be ignored, but I think it's unpredictable too. You can't say what will happen even today or an hour later. But I'll tell you one thing, there's no evidence that the people in Congress or in the administration will sit down and think about it a little bit and think, well,
no.
You know, what are the ramifications? Even if, even though I don't identify with what they call the realists, the realists at least might have said, you know, even their interventions, but they're more inclined to say, you know, maybe we ought to talk about this for a day or two, you know. So, but we're not even hearing that. This administration is controlled by some people that I consider unrealistic.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to the April attack, it was the U.S. that blocked any international investigation on the ground of that site. So why did they block it? Why did they prevent us from getting the information? Because they wanted to continue to claim it was an attack without any proof. There still hasn't been any proof. But there was an attack.
But isn't it amazing that this seems to be just impossible to believe, not relevant and not logical, that Assad would be this stupid? And Assad has to be communicating with his saviors, and that's Russia.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, no, you're not going to do that. And yet they put it out there, Trump dumps it out there, CNN pumps it up, and the Congress rolls over. And they're ready to put on more sanctions. They're, of course, arguing a little bit about that. But they just march on, and the people are saying, you know, this doesn't make any sense, you know, that they would do this.
You know, that is a big question. And rational people should ask themselves why at this point, when he is very carefully rushing to Deir ez-Zor and onto Raqqa to retake the eastern part of his country, and which would really consolidate his victory around the country, why, when they're having a conventional military assault on these areas, would he pause and say, you know what, I think I'm going to wait for a few days. I'm going to attack some civilians with some gas, you know, alienate my ally, Russia, and have Trump have an excuse to bomb me. You know, how does anyone believe this is possible?
Well, it is hard to believe. I hope that our concerns are unfounded, but unfortunately, I'm afraid that we're much closer to what might be going to happen than you can figure out by what Trump is saying or doing or what the CNA, well, we could listen to the news on CNN tonight yeah. and decide what's really going on. And what do we think? I come back to my conclusion. CNN and the foreign policy of Donald Trump might not be all that different, which is even scarier that they can have that uniformity on the policy. So how would you summarize this? What are your concerns and what do you think is going to happen?
Russia will not react this time like they reacted last time if the U.S. attacks Syrian government forces on a pretext like this. I think that is for sure. How far they will go is anybody's guess.
There you go. And as usual, I argued the case that if we would mind our own business, we wouldn't be have to worry about this. This wouldn't be an economic burden. It wouldn't be endangering the world. But the rhetoric got a little bit too strong for me today. It's much more annoying and much more frightening on what we're hearing, because there's escalation in tone and there's escalation on who's going to get blamed. Just not Assad. It's more than Assad has to go. And it means that if they pin an accusation with fake news that Assad is, we're not going to wait till he releases this, not until we see the smoking gun and a mushroom cloud, that we're going to have to go in, but it's not going to be Assad. We're just not going to march in with an army and get rid of Assad. What we have to do is go after Russia and Iran as well. Those are that's a dangerous escalation in the rhetoric. And that's hope that the American people and others will start thinking about an alternative to this, and there is. There's one of a policy of non-intervention and trying to get along with people and not pretending that the world is going to be totally destroyed unless we make the world safe for democracy by taking over the world. That is a bad course for events. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.